Listen to this. In verse 11, and it shall be when your days are fulfilled, when you must go to be with your fathers, that I will set up your seed after you, who will be one of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. Who do you think God's talking about? I believe God's talking about Jesus right here. It's not capitalized in my Bible, but I think it's where the translators got it wrong. Yes, I am positioning myself against all the translators of the New King James Version of the Bible. And I'm elevating myself and my learnedness over theirs. I think they missed it. I think they missed it. You know why? Because we love religion and we love temples and God hates them. I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house and I will establish his throne forever. How about that? Did Solomon actually have a throne that lasted forever? Clearly not. So is he a fulfillment of this passage of scripture? Clearly not. Who does have a throne established forever? Jesus. Who is the true son of David? Okay, watch this. He shall build me a house. Hosanna to the son of David. What do you think the children were saying? I need to tell you a story, and it's 12:30. Can you guys hang with me for a couple of minutes while I weep and cry in front of all you all, and bring this sermon to its denouement? I want you to know something. Solomon built the temple anyway. David thought that God was talking about Solomon. Because in another passage, he goes on to tell Solomon, well, God told me that I'm going to have a son who's going to build a temple, so I should call him Solomon, and so you're going to be the one. And so he says, Solomon, you're the one to build the temple. And I've prepared, because God says, don't build me a house. David's like, okay. And he goes and does it anyway. Just like so many of us, the Lord tells us not to do it, but we do it anyway. He saved, I counted up one time, you can read the story in 2 Kings or 1 Kings or something. You can read the story, the parallel story in the other passage where David actually accounts for what he's raised, the money that he's raised and the stuff that he set aside for the building of the temple. Because he basically, David, God says, you're not going to build it, but David drew it up anyway. He drew the pictures of it. He did all the architectural design. He collected the money for it and he practically broke ground. He actually went and he purchased the field where he said it was going to be from the guy where the angel was coming through and bringing a plague on the nation because David had numbered the people. It stopped at the threshing floor, and that David went and bought the threshing floor. You may remember the story. He bought it from the guy. The guy says, no, I'll give it to you. And David says, I'm not going to take anything from you. I will not make an offering to the Lord that did not cost me something. Remember that? Anyway, so he takes and he buys the floor, and then he tells Solomon, this is where you're going to build the temple. This is what it's going to look like, and here's the money to do it. What's he doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's doing what Nathan told him first. Go do whatever you want. God is with you. He's doing what Nathan told him first, but he's not doing what God told him second. You need to listen to what God's telling you. And not just carry on in your own plans and do things the way you want to anyway. Because here's what happens. Solomon builds that temple, and he dedicates the temple in 979 BC. Okay, that's somewhere around there, 979 BC. 360 years later, the temple is utterly destroyed. You know why? Because when Solomon said to God, listen, we're going to have this temple and we're going to build this temple. I know that we cannot house you in a temple. You who created the universe, how can you possibly be housed in a temple made by men? And he sounds like he's got all the right words, Solomon does. I mean, he really does. He even convinced God. I mean, it's amazing. And he goes and he says, Lord, you know, we entreat you, however, we've built this temple. Show up, please. We're begging you, Eric's paraphrase. We're begging you, basically saying, whenever people pray to you from wherever they might be on the world, when they turn towards this temple and pray, would you hear their prayer? Let this be the symbol of prayer. Let this house be the house of prayer. Here's the agreement I'll make with you, Lord, okay? I know you don't live in temples, but can we have a place where we can at least gather and pray? And if we promise to pray in this place, I mean, if people sin and they turn back to you and they pray, would you hear from heaven? If people are foreigners and they're destitute and they turn to you and pray, would you hear from heaven? If people have murdered somebody or accidentally or whatever, and they turn and pray and ask for mercy, they grab a hold of the horns of the altar, would you hear from heaven? And he goes through a whole long list, like a dozen of these things, where he says, if we pray, will you hear from heaven? And God says, okay, all right, here's the deal. You pray, I'll listen. That place will be a house of prayer. We'll call it a house of prayer. If you call it a house of prayer, I'll show up. I'll make it my name. I'll put my name there, and I'll establish it forever. You keep it as a house of prayer, and you do what I tell you to do, and I'll be there. But then he tells Solomon this, and he tells him later in 1 Chronicles. He says, Solomon, let me just explain something to you. If you quit doing what you promised to do, and you start going your own way, I will destroy this temple so fast because the temple is not what I wanted in the first place. I'm going to go, I'm going to give you the concession because you know what? I love David and I love his heart and all that. And you promised to make it a house of prayer. But I'm going to tell you what's really going to happen here. What's really going to happen is you're going to get arrogant. People are going to get prideful. You're going to think you've got it all together. You're going to be on display in front of all the nations. Everybody's going to come here and think, wow, these guys have really got it together. And because of that, you're going to be elevated in your own mind. When that happens, you're going to become proud. You're going to push me out the window. You're going to put on your religious show for all the visitors from all over the world. They're going to give lots of money. You're going to get rich off of the project. And then at the end of the day, you're going to have nothing to show in terms of real spirituality, but you're going to have to maintain this beast. And I'm telling you, I will destroy it because it will keep people from knowing who I really am. So 300 and some odd years later, God destroys the temple. Well, Nebuchadnezzar destroys the temple, but he can only do it if God allows him. No man has any authority unless God gives it to him, right? Nebuchadnezzar comes in and destroys the temple in 586 BC. And Satan says, oh, cool, okay, my turn, I'm going to build a temple. In 550 BC, Satan builds a temple. It's called the Temple to Artemis in Ephesus. Ephesus is a major, major city, a huge city. And it's over on the portion of Turkey across the ocean from Greece. And it's before Alexander the Great. It's before any of that stuff. In 550 BC, they build a temple. It becomes one of the seven wonders of the world. It's literally 36 years after the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. It's the temple of all temples. And it's a temple to some satanic goddess, the goddess Artemis. That has some importance because we're going to come back to that Ephesus story in just a minute. Well, the people of God are without a temple and without a place, a home for themselves, because God sends them and scatters them into the rest of the world, in the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Persians, and he scatters them all over the world for 70 years. And then God speaks a word through Daniel. Daniel's crying out to God, God restore. Jeremiah prophesied and said this would be just 70 years, and here we are, Lord, it's been 70 years, we're counting the days. And during the time of Darius the Mede, remember when Daniel was thrown in the lion's den? God, when you start to see all these things come together, Darius calls out to God after Daniel's been thrown in the lion's den. He loves Daniel, and Daniel is saved, and Darius issues a decree across all the world. He says, everybody will worship and revere and respect the God of Daniel. Yahweh is his name, and he is the God who's to be worshipped. He is steadfast and true, and forever he shall be praised. And so everybody must tremble before him. Basically, if they're Jewish people and they're worshipping this God and everybody else wants to take on the Jews, let the other people be put to death. The Jews and their God are to be revered. That's at a time when God is saying, okay, go back and you can rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And in that time, Ezra comes along and starts rebuilding the temple of God. Okay? He starts to rebuild the temple. Interestingly enough, in the time that he's rebuilding the temple, the time of Ezra, followed by Nehemiah, there are a couple prophets who begin to prophesy. Zechariah is one of them. Haggai is another one. Malachi is another one. In chapter 13 of Nehemiah is about when Malachi begins prophesying, and that's the last word of the Old Testament. And the word that God gives to Malachi as they're rebuilding the temple, the word that God gives to him is this: tell them, I will send Elijah. I will send Elijah, and he will call down, essentially, this is what you need to picture in your mind. Words are not in there, but if you think of Elijah, he's the guy who calls down fire from heaven. He's the guy who brings the name of the Lord back amongst the people. This is why they're building a temple. Hello? Trying to build the name of the Lord again in a temple? And Malachi says, you need to understand, unless the fathers turn to the children and the children to the fathers, I will strike the nation with a curse. Because you're building a temple again, people. You're building a temple again. I said you could build the temple because it gives you a national identity, but I want you to know something. The temple is not where I am. And you know what? God never graced the temple of Ezra and the city of Nehemiah with that presence of God that Solomon had. Never once. And then Herod builds a temple. Herod builds a temple. The temple of Ezra, he rebuilds it. He destroys it and rebuilds it. And he builds this massive, great big thing. And listen to this. It's in that Herod's temple that Jesus finally shows up. And when he comes into that, the glory of the Lord enters the temple for the first time since the time of days of Solomon. One time, the glory of the Lord, where the people couldn't minister because the cloud was thick. And one time again, now here, this Jesus in the temple. And in the temple, he says to them, not one stone will be left upon another. Because God hates temples. And that's why when the children are there and they're speaking out those words, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they're prophesying and they don't even know it. But it's because the children know that the temples of old never fulfilled the promises of God. They never brought the people into rest, and they never brought the Spirit of God amongst the people. And at least the children are brave enough to say that the emperor has no clothes. And the children are saying, we haven't seen the glory of the Lord in the temple. And I want to tell you something. We don't see the glory of the Lord in the churches either. Now. And at least the children are brave enough to say it. And if you and I think that we can somehow build a temple and build a church that God will grace with his presence, I want you to know we are wrong. Only Jesus can build that temple. He builds the church, and on the rock of revelation, he builds that church. On the rock of the foundation of the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, he builds that church. And when he builds the church, he builds a church of flesh and blood, and he builds a church of stained glass windows that the light shines through, and it shows the world the great and glorious God. And we are those people. We are those people. You and I are those people. Don't come to church and sit here in church and offer God your songs and then go home back to your own homes and not be willing to allow the Lord to adjust your speech, to adjust your tone, to adjust your love, to show you what it means to be generous, to ask other people to come to your dinner table and share with them and pray with them and minister to them. Don't say the church is powerless when you're not bringing God into your own home. Of course the church is powerless. Of course, the church is powerless. We say, we don't even want to come to service anymore because I don't get anything from it. Of course you don't get anything from it, because this is not where God is. He's not in a building. He's in the people. And we are his people. We are his people. We are his people. And his promise is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. His promise is that he will be with us to the end of the age. His promise is that if we focus on him, if we find ourselves abiding in him, he will abide in us, and we will be fruitful. And there will be nothing that we cannot do. And he says, if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it shall be moved. So I say to the mountain of religion, the mountain of dead Christian religion that is lodged in your hearts, I say, mountain, be moved in the name of Jesus. False expectation, be removed in the name of Jesus. Idolatry, be moved in the name of Jesus. We're not building icons. There's so many things. In Amos, the prophet Amos prophesies during the time of Uzziah, before the temple is destroyed. And he said, God wants to rebuild the tabernacle of David. In 1 Chronicles 17, after Nathan speaks to David, the Bible says David went into the presence of the Lord and sat there and talked to him. That's what God wants. God wants you to do more than just listen to a preacher and a prophet. Maybe I'm Nathan to you today, but God wants to speak to you. God wants you to go home and sit in his presence. Go sit in his presence. Go sit in his presence. And be astounded that God cares about you and your family. That God wants to build you a name. That God wants to give you a name. That's right. You, a name. He wants to make your children healthy. He wants to make your heart and your home and your head healthy. He wants to give you dreams and visions about your personal life. He wants to lead you in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God's interested in you as an individual. You as an individual. You as an individual. Not just some grandiose thing that everybody's going to flock to somewhere. No, you as an individual. Go and sit in the presence of God and say like David did, who am I that you are mindful of me? God cares about you. You want to build the church of God? Build you. Build you. This is so much. I wish I could give it more. But you're done. And I'm done. Well done. You lasted an hour. A full hour. That's very good. Father, thank you for your word. And thank you, Lord, for setting us straight. I thank you, God, that this word of the gospel is so powerful. I'm sorry that we missed it, but thank you for revealing it to us. Lord, the church that you built in Ephesus so many years later, you built it not by might nor by power, but through the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. In those days, Lord, we read that Paul the apostle went to them, and 12 men were there in Ephesus, in that city of the great temple and the great idol and the great idolatry of Artemis. And there in that place, Lord, 12 men called upon the name of the Lord, and your Holy Spirit showed up, and they spoke with other tongues. And over a period of 2 years, they reached the entire province of Asia. Millions of people came to know you. And the church in Ephesus, as we understand, was a mega church, the first one in the Bible. And they never owned a building. You made a church of, from what we understand, Lord, and I don't know, you know, we don't, but what we understand, your church had 15,000 people in it or more, and they never had a building. But they met in one another's homes and in the marketplaces and whatever gathering place they could find that was big enough for them. And they did not need an earthly identity, for they were an identity all of their own. They were the church, the ecclesia, the living church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's all identity they needed. Oh God, let the same heart be in us, and let the same spirit move amongst us, and let our focus be on you and on your gospel message and not on the temporary things of this world, which is going to be burned up. God, may we focus on you, and may we reach the lost, and may we reach our families, and may our families be to the glory and the honor of your name. I pray for every person here today, and I ask, Lord God, that you would burn this word in our hearts in the name of Jesus. And may we be changed. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I offer you this word, this final charge. Beware of people who build temples. They are false teachers, the blind leading the blind. Do not give your money to them. Do not send your money to them, no matter how well they preach on television. I beg you, use your money to further the kingdom of God in your own family. And do not be sucked into that false idolatry that elevates man. Please, they're everywhere. Their books are on our bookshelves. Their TV shows are on our Daystar TV and God Tube. They're everywhere. Beware of false teachers, for they would make much of you that you might make much of them. Beware, 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 church, beware. There are false teachers running around everywhere. They are dressed up like sheep, but they are wolves in sheep's clothing. Do you hear me? Do not build temples. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. The peace of the Lord be with you. Amen.